Okay, so for this episode, we're going to focus on three of my favorite places to go to find your next great hire or to find your next great job. Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Rebase. So in the last episode, we started diving into the best places and really comparing and contrasting all the places where you could find your next ideal hire, or in the case where you're a job seeker, the places where you can find your next great job. And we're doing this episode because as a hiring manager, for example, when we need to hire for a new role, there are a lot of questions that we have to be able to answer. You know, what's the title for this role? What's our budget? What type of skills and strengths are we looking for in this role? But one of the questions we never really ask ourselves is, where might we find the ideal person for this role? Or maybe put differently, you know, how can we find the right person for this role and really optimize the time we spend looking for them? And we don't ask this question for a variety of reasons. You know, usually we're just kind of accustomed to the way that we see other people, you know, doing all of their recruiting efforts. And we assume we have to follow the exact same path and the exact same patterns as other companies, other employers. But that's really not the case when it comes down to it. And, you know, I work with a lot of small businesses and startups who have various constraints, whether those are, you know, time constraints, bandwidth, money. You know, when you have constraints, you can't just assume that you can do everything that every other company can do when they might have these greater resources and they're not experiencing the same constraints as you. And if you haven't checked out the last episode, I definitely recommend you check it out. It's not a prerequisite to checking out this episode, but you will learn a little bit more about kind of where we started from when we're talking about finding a new great employee or finding your next great job. You know, and in that episode, we covered a couple areas where you could find that next great hire. You know, the first one was the most obvious, maybe, and the most common location, and that is a job board like Indeed, LinkedIn, Monster.com, these places where companies can post job openings for virtually any position in any department, any type of professional discipline, and then people will apply. And we talked about some of the benefits to the system where, you know, the playing field is relatively level to where everybody's positions kind of appear in the same way, and you can reach a ton of people. Similarly, as an applicant, you can apply for a lot of different jobs with a lot of different companies. Now, that said, you know, one of the drawbacks is that because this is such a, you know, quote-unquote level playing field, it really doesn't play to any of your strengths or advantages. And in fact, you can be at a disadvantage as a smaller or lesser known company because you're competing for the attention of job seekers who are also having their attention taken up by bigger, better well-known brand name sorts of companies. So you're kind of rolling the dice in trying to get yourself noticed on either side of this playing field. So the next thing, the next area that we went into was going to job-related, career-related events like career fairs. And these can be a great place to get yourself noticed as an employer or as a job seeker and to really focus your efforts into areas, into companies and into positions where there's actually potentially a fit. And this is great because instead of just tossing a resume into a pile of other resumes or tossing your job opening into, you know, a sea of thousands upon thousands of other potentially similar or exactly alike job openings, you could actually be in a concentrated area where companies looking to hire and people looking for jobs are all there for that specific purpose. and you're not just going to run into a situation where people are casually applying for your job because it takes zero time, as it does on most job boards, and you're not going to run into a situation as a job seeker where you're talking to companies who aren't really looking to hire people right now. You've both made that investment of time and money and really put yourself out there. And that is really one of the benefits of one of these sort of career fairs or job events. Now, the downside to these events is that you do have to kind of be good at sort of selling yourself or selling your opportunity to other people. And you need to make sure that you can answer the right questions and that you can honestly start to persuade people to be more interested in matching up themselves with this opportunity, you know, without coming off as too salesy or without coming off as dishonest or misleading. And again, these events can really help you to connect with other people genuinely, make a good impression as a job seeker, as a hiring manager or a recruiter. That said, you know, they also don't particularly scale all that well. So if you've got a ton of different positions to hire for, that could present a challenge at one of these events. They obviously take up your time and your effort. So even if there was a job event, a career event every single day, you would probably be hard pressed to have a presence at every single one. So you have to kind of pick your spots and spend your time wisely. Okay, so that is a basic recap of what we covered in the last episode. And for more details and to understand some of the other pros and cons to each one of these approaches so that you can make the best use of your time and your effort, then definitely go back and listen to the previous episode. Okay, so for this episode, we're going to focus on three of my favorite places to go to find your next great hire or to find your next great job. And, you know, again, just as the other two that we went over in the previous episode, there are going to be upsides and downsides to all three of these sources. But I want you to make sure that you truly understand, you know, kind of what you're getting yourself into, either as an employer or as a job seeker, you know, when you're putting yourself out there, because your time is valuable, your money is valuable, your attention is valuable. And I want to make sure that you're, you know, spending all of those in the most appropriate place for you. Okay, so first up are subscription and exclusive platforms like Hired or Indeed Prime. And what are these platforms? So I've tinkered with these platforms as a hiring manager in the past and never used them. Well, actually, I guess I've used Hired briefly as a potential job seeker, but most of my experience with platforms like these are, you know, as a hiring manager. What will generally happen is, as an employer, you will enter into an agreement with Hired.com, for example. And what that agreement will get you access to is their platform. And then they will basically start to filter through candidates who are also members of their platform on the other side of that marketplace dynamic. And they will start to send those candidates your way. And this is essentially a smaller, more moderated, more cultivated version of what a job board might be, in that, you know, the employers that are participating and the job seekers, the candidates who are participating, have indicated a greater level of interest than somebody who's simply applying to a job ad or an employer who posts something on LinkedIn or on Indeed for, you know, a very low cost or for free. And so these are, they said, they're kind of a cultivated sort of marketplace of talent and opportunities. And some of the upsides to a platform like Hired or Indeed Prime, and there are others that I'm not mentioning here, but I'll try to include all the ones I can think of in the show notes. The upside to these sorts of cultivated marketplaces are exactly that. They do a lot of the upfront work for you. So part of the value proposition of these platforms is that, you know, they're going to do some sort of check on the qualifications and on the quality of candidates that are interested in being on the platform. Likewise, they're going to work with the employer side, with the hiring managers, the recruiters, and they're going to make sure that everything is optimized to attract the right people and that they are, you know, making the right connections. Because after all, that's the business that they're in, is to make sure that they are, you know, at the end of the day, sending the right types of candidates to the hiring companies. And you might think of these kind of platforms, sort of like a lightweight or like online headhunter agency recruiter, you know, where these platforms, they send the candidates to the employers that, and those candidates are often pre-qualified, you know, they're pre-vetted, they're actively seeking a new opportunity. So you're not just going to get window shoppers. And likewise, as a candidate, you're going to be connected to the companies who are actually interested in hiring for a particular role because they're spending good money to do so. You know, one of the other side benefits of a platform like this, especially if you're an employer, a hiring manager, or a recruiter, is that there's a number of these sort of tech-based platforms that are popping up, and they're all trying to grab market share over the past 2 years. So you tend to run into most of these places offering pretty good promotions for you to sign up, retention deals. You can probably get a pretty good price and get some kind of discount off of their normal retail rate as an employer. So I definitely recommend at least, you know, setting up a call or having a chat with one or two of these companies. Okay, so if these companies sound so great, then what are the downsides? Well, honestly, there's a handful. And, you know, the first thing is that really right now, because a lot of these companies, a lot of these platforms are still kind of in their infancy, they really only focus on serving certain industries, certain types of positions, certain disciplines. And that's not the case with all of them, but I know, you know, for example, my focus is primarily in hiring tech people, right? Software engineers, quality assurance engineers, these sorts of people. And because there's such a high demand for that type of role, some of these companies will spin up their platforms focused just in the tech sector or focused in a related field. There are some that spin up focused just on filling sales roles, right? So because they're trying to get their technology right and get their algorithms and get their tooling and their processes in check, you know, they're generally specialized in a handful of disciplines. And what that basically means is that you probably won't be able to use a lot of them to fill all of your hiring needs as a company, but you could potentially use them to fill some very hard to fill positions or positions that are difficult to fill in a particular department in your organization. You know, another downside goes back to kind of what we were talking about with job boards in general. You know, there is still a relatively even playing field with all the participants on these platforms. So even if you pay the 10, 15K, 20K, whatever it is to be an employer on one of these platforms, that doesn't really differentiate you in any way from the other companies who are paying the same or relatively same fee to participate and have candidates send their way. So again, there's not a ton of motivation for the people actually doing the matchmaking on these services to send people to you versus some other company who has spent the exact same amount of money and invested the same amount of money. And last but certainly not least, as far as downsides go, you know, some of these companies, as I mentioned, are still relatively young and they're still figuring out the best ways to vet talent and to send you the right talent as an employer. And because they're trying to do this at scale with a ton of different companies, you know, they're not going to be extremely rigorous in vetting talent before sending them to employers because they honestly don't have, you know, a great intimate sense of exactly what it is you're looking for as an employer. You know, and that can play out the exact same way as a candidate. You know, a lot of times these companies are going to see any sort of activity and any sort of movement as a success. So they're going to try to match you up with companies or try to match companies up with talent who maybe you're not exactly a fit for, but they want to make sure that they're not sending you zero potential matches. Okay, so that is the exclusive or subscription-based matchmaking platforms, again, like Hired, Indeed, Prime, and the like. Next, we're going to talk about something that, again, people think that I've got it out for agency recruiters and headhunters, and that, you know, if you read my book, you might think that I recommend that you avoid, you know, these sorts of, you know, companies. And nothing could be further from the truth. Good agency recruiters can be the most valuable relationships that you as a hiring manager, as an employer, and, you know, as talent, as a candidate, that you could have in your entire career. You know, that said, I'm just going to say that you need to make sure that you're working with the right people who have your interests in mind. So an agency recruiter, and I'm going to use agency recruiter and headhunter kind of interchangeably here, but let's be honest, a company that is structured and built around matching talent with employers who need that talent and do so on a more local or intimate level. Agency recruiter and headhunter basically mean the same thing. There's no negative connotation. But a good agency recruiter, company, individual that you work with, that you trust, is incredibly invaluable. So what are the upsides for leveraging a great agency recruiter? Well, obviously, these are going to be people that you can trust. And you've built this relationship with them over time, so they really know what type of people you're looking for, you know, culturally, you know, attitude-wise, skill set-wise, and they're basically going to be like mind readers for you almost. And they're going to be able to send you only the people that they know have a good chance of getting through your recruiting process. You know, they also are just going to do a ton of that early screening and, you know, making sure that the capabilities and the shared values that you need in a new hire are there for any candidate before they send them your way. And that's going to save you a ton of time and effort, you know, as they start to get to know your organization and what you typically look for. So again, it's going to build that trust and they're going to do a ton of work for you up front. You know, they're going to be able to help you really find also those intangible strengths, you know, the types of things that maybe you haven't explicitly put on a job ad, but they know due to their experience, you know, this is where they spent all of their time, you know, due to their experience, they're going to be able to help figure out what some of those, you know, unspoken strengths and skills really are. And they're going to help weed out early on for somebody who's probably a real culture fit. You know, culture fit is one of these buzzwords that gets thrown around a lot when we're talking about recruiting these days. But, you know, as an agency recruiter gets to know you in your organization, they're going to really have a good sense of what your culture actually is. And they're not going to waste their time sending you somebody who, you know, isn't going to fit in. You know, whether you've got an aggressive startup culture or whether it's a little bit more laid back sort of dynamic, you know, they're going to be extra careful about the people they send your way. And, you know, one of the last major upsides that I'll mention is the, you know, incentive structure around working with a headhunter or an agency recruiter. You know, they only get paid when they place someone in your organization and when that person has been there for, you know, a decent amount of time, say, you know, 90 days. So they're only going to get paid whenever there's a successful match. And that's really important to consider, you know, when you are paying somebody to help send you candidates. You know, they are focused on getting you results. So what are the downsides then? Well, obviously there is a financial cost that is outside of, you know, some companies' wheelhouse. Sometimes companies do not want to spend that additional 15 to 30% on top of the salary they're paying a new hire in order to pay the person who brought that new hire to their attention. And it's definitely not a small fee, but when you find a good agency recruiter, you know, usually they're worth that. You know, you have to start to factor into account what it's costing you and costing your business not to have somebody hired in a particular role and about how long it takes you usually to fill open positions, and then weigh that against what the cost is to pay a recruiter to bring these people to your attention. Next, you know, that startup cost of building a relationship with an agency recruiter can be expensive. You know, if you're anything like me, when you're going to post an open position, when you're even thinking about posting an open position, it feels like all of these recruiting agencies come out of the woodworks and they've got a million candidates they want to send your way. And all these candidates are a super great fit, but you don't know these agencies and you don't know these candidates. And it can take some effort to really build a rapport and build a relationship to where a company will really send you good people and not just people who potentially check a couple boxes because they've had a title that kind of fits the title for the position you're trying to fill, right? So it can take time to build those relationships. That said, you know, in my relatively short time as a hiring manager, you know, building those relationships have paid dividends, you know, tenfold over the years. But I've also had to tell several agency recruiters flat out, no, I'm not going to work with your company due to previous bad experiences. And I've had to give some a chance and let them completely fail in sending me candidates that simply were not a fit and telling them that because of that, I was no longer going to work with them. So there is some vetting of these companies that does have to take place if you don't already have those relationships set up. You know, one of the other downsides goes back to what I said about the incentive structure. Yes, the incentive for an agency recruiter is to place the person. That's when they get paid, right? When the person they're representing gets hired at a company, then they get paid after, you know, 60, 90, whatever days. Now, that said, remember that their incentive is that they get paid when they place this person somewhere, not just with your company. These agency recruiters, these headhunters, are going to be working with multiple employers. And if they're representing one really talented individual who could be a fit for a position that you have open, their goal is to place that person in the best fit for that person, but also to get that person the most amount of money possible, because then as a percentage of that person's hiring salary, it's usually how the, you know, bonuses or referral fees or placement fees, whatever you want to call them, how those are calculated, they're going to look also to line their own pockets in the best possible way. So if you are potentially a smaller company who doesn't pay quite as high, they may send this candidate that they've got and push them to go to another company that's going to pay more. So you have to keep that in mind. And again, that goes back to really building a trusting relationship with these agencies. And last but not least, you know, this kind of goes back to what I was talking about with, you know, the influx of messages, of contacts that you'll get from representatives from some agency recruiters as soon as you even have the inkling of an idea to potentially post an open position. You know, a lot of the effective recruiting partners, associates, whatever you want to call them, at agency recruiters, they come from a sales background. And there's definitely the good ones out there, the great ones who will take time to build a relationship with you and are in it for the long haul. But there's also those who come from that hard-nosed, beat you over the head sort of sales process where they spend a lot less time actually listening to you and more time waiting their turn to speak so they can try to feed you some candidate that you don't want. So you have to be sure that you're not being sold a bill of goods. So what's my recommendation when it comes to working with headhunters or agency recruiters? Well, really, it's to build in the budget where you can. Try to identify, predict what roles are going to be the hardest to fill, the hardest to find your ideal candidate, and then plan for the possibility of using an agency to, you know, send you candidates to interview for that role. The next recommendation is that you don't need to budget for every single role. Look, if you're trying to fill a bunch of entry-level positions, maybe you don't need to go to an agency for every single one of those. Now, it can save you a ton of time, but it also will cost you a ton of money to fill those roles through an agency that you might be able to fill through other means that we've mentioned before. So try to primarily use agencies to fill mission-critical, time-sensitive, hard-to-fill, you know, really urgent roles. And last but not least, is find the handful of headhunters and agency recruiters that you work well with and that send you the highest quality people, you know, early on, so that you don't have to filter through a bunch of the people that even they are sending you, and stick with those people. You know, it is worth the financial investment over time to have those relationships and to pay those people for doing what it is that they do best. So last and certainly not least, in fact, the farthest from least source of finding your next great hire, or as a job seeker, finding your next great job, still the reigning, defending, undisputed number one champion of finding a new job or finding your next great employee is your network. I know it sounds crazy that in this day and age of all these technological advances that I would say that you should still focus on your network for finding great talent and finding great jobs. But here's the problem. Over the years, despite all these technological advances, recruiting is still very much a human experience. There are a lot of things that aren't covered by a job ad or a job posting, a lot of things that aren't included in your resume that say a lot about you as a talented contributor, that say a lot about your company and the culture and the people that work there. So these job boards, these cultivated private marketplaces, they can be effective when you've got the time, when you've got the capacity, the bandwidth to play this game at a huge scale. But if you want to know a secret, it's that despite all these technological advances, the vast majority of people still find their next job through somebody they know. So if you're a smaller business, or if you're a job seeker who's strapped for time, then why not leverage the aspect of your life where more than 50% of people still get their next new job? You know, there's some obvious benefits to leveraging your network, either as an employer or as a job seeker, to match with that next great job and the next great hire. You know, upside number one, and this is huge to me as a hiring manager, when you go through your network, you start out ahead of the game. You start out with some degree of social proof, whether it's somebody you worked with previously, or you're asking somebody that you know who they might know, you're getting some degree of social proof. So there's no complete 100% unknowns, either as an employer or as a job seeker. You know, the second upside is that you really can start with a smaller pool of potential candidates and a smaller pool of potential job opportunities, which, you know, again, coming from somebody who's worked a lot in startups, small teams, small businesses, you know, time is usually one of our biggest resources that we just don't have a lot of. And so starting with a smaller pool of candidates saves you a ton of time, at least in the early going. And there's nothing that says you can't start out with a small pool of candidates, go through those, and if they don't work out, then adjust course and, you know, cast a wider net. But starting out smaller with this smaller pool of, again, kind of pre-vetted candidates with that social proof, then you're saving yourself potentially a ton of time. You know, the third upside that I think most people don't tend to realize then is that how powerful their network can be. You know, a lot of times I will talk to a hiring manager and I'll say, well, you know, tap people in your network to find this next hire. And like, yeah, well, people in my network don't know anybody in my industry. Or, you know, the people that I know don't know anybody with this particular skill set. And honestly, I kind of look at them cross-eyed, I give them a funny look. It's like, do you really know everybody who your friends know, who your connections know? Do you truly believe that you know everybody that they know? Because you don't. I mean, end of the day, you have no idea who the people in your network know. And then the people in your network, if they're your first level connections, you have no idea who your first connections know. And then beyond that, you have no idea who their connections, your second level, who those connections know, and so on and so forth. And you can go pretty deep down this chain in your network of first, second, third, fourth connections, and you can find somebody, a number of somebodies, through these connections who you had no idea that these people knew. And you can do that with honestly a lot less effort and a lot, you know, less stress and pain of going through a ton of resumes or applying to a ton of jobs, you know, just completely at random, where you don't know anybody at the company or you have no clue who this applicant is. And I'm not saying that you should necessarily always just completely go through your network, but it's the best place to start, without a doubt. I mean, the statistics back it up. Again, in this day and age, where we have all this technology, all these job boards, and all this amazing tech that's supposed to help everybody find jobs and everybody find great employees, it still is a huge pain, and people are still getting their jobs through the people they know. And in addition to, you know, not knowing who the people in your network know, you never know who they might have met. So I'll give you an example. So let me tell you a quick story about how I got my first job out of college. I was coming close to graduation, and I lived in a college town that was also a state capital, but outside of that, there was not a ton of industry, particularly hiring in the area in software engineering, where I was looking to get a job. But, you know, I had a general tech background as well. You know, I've been writing code since I was 12, and I was always kind of surrounded by technology. So a friend of mine at the time who had already graduated a few years earlier, he turned me on to a position opening that I was definitely not qualified for. It was for like a network or IT administrator position. It was entry level, but I still was more on the software side of things than the manage your network and fix your users' computers sort of thing. But, you know, I said, screw it. Why not? And I applied anyway. And, you know, honestly, I went into the interview. The hiring manager, the interviewer was super nice. And, you know, I kind of proved in that interview that maybe I could talk a good talk and that maybe I could learn along the way and definitely get the job done. But it clearly was not a role that I was actually already qualified for. But like I said, during that time, not having a ton of opportunities, I figured, screw it, I'll give it a shot, maybe see what happens. And just so happened that that hiring manager a few weeks later was having lunch with the secretary of another Department of State government, you know, there in Tallahassee. And the guy he went to have lunch with said during their lunch conversation that he needed to hire a programmer, you know, relatively entry level, but he needed somebody and needed them relatively soon. And he just could not find anybody for this position. And the guy that I had already interviewed with, who, you know, knew that I wasn't a good network IT administrator, but knew from my experience, from the way I talked and from my resume that I had a lot of background in software programming, engineering, you know, he said, I've got the perfect guy for you. Let me find his resume and I'll send him over. So again, by putting yourself out there and by talking with people versus just, you know, applying to resumes sitting behind your computer screen, you never know who you're going to meet, who they know, who they're going to talk to, who they're going to meet. And from that job, honestly, about 18 months later, I got my next job. And from that job, I was connected with somebody where I got my next job. And just by taking that chance, if I had not interviewed for a position that I probably wasn't qualified for, I can't even say where I might be today. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that you shouldn't discount the power of your network, that you don't know who the people that you're connected with, you don't know who they know. You don't know who those people know. You could traverse down just a couple different links in your network and immediately find a great job or a great opportunity through people you already know. And you don't have to necessarily spend your time throwing, you know, your application out for 50 jobs a day. Likewise, as an employer, you also don't necessarily have to accept hundreds of resumes just to find one person. Now, that said, I'm certainly not touting your network as the end-all be-all of how to find a job. There are downsides. What are the downsides of leveraging your network to find a job or find your next great hire? Well, number one, your network doesn't know whether or not you're still hiring. I mean, to use the simplest example, when I was a hiring manager and trying to basically oversee and lead a team of around 90 people, we were basically always hiring at least one role. And because I didn't do a good enough job of constantly keeping people in my department up to date on what we were looking for, I would get questions all the time that were something like, are we still hiring? Are we still looking to hire people? What are we hiring for? So that's just as a hiring manager inside the company that I was working for. People didn't know whether or not we were still looking for people. And if I had just leveraged them better, if I had asked them to help more frequently, then I wouldn't have faced so many challenges. You know, another downside of using your network is that you really have to know ahead of time what you're looking for, who you're looking for, because you don't want to send these people who you know and love, or at least moderately respect, you don't want to send them on a wild goose chase, connecting you with potential employees who aren't going to be a fit, or, you know, sending your resume to a company with their blessing for a role that you're not going to enjoy or an environment that's not going to light you up. So you really do need to get clear ahead of time, which doesn't take that long, but you do need to get clear ahead of time on who and what it is you're really looking for. And why is that important? Well, because you risk damaging the relationships in your network, professionally, personally, if you do send people on a wild goose chase. And I've seen it more times than I can count, where somebody will reach out to a friend or a trusted colleague and say, I'm looking for a project manager. And they give no other context. And then they reject every single candidate that their trusted connection sends to them because they were looking for something totally different, but they didn't take the time to explain to their connection what they were really looking for. You know, the next downside or challenge is that you really have to know how to ask for help. And that's not all that difficult, but sometimes we have a hard time asking people for help and really connecting with somebody. And last but not least, you know, this does require a little focused effort on your part. So you can't spray and pray your resume or your job ad to a bunch of different places and just kind of hope that things are going to work out. So you do have to do a little bit of planning, a little bit of organizing in order to make this work to your advantage. But when you do, I promise that it will work to your advantage. So my recommendation when you're going to tap into this amazing source of great potential jobs, great potential new hires, is to use your network through direct relationship strengthening conversations. And that means that you need to actually connect with people one-on-one, not just broadcast. You know, so many of us think that we can post something on Facebook or on LinkedIn, and by posting this out there and saying, I'm looking for a job in this field, or I'm looking for a ninja rock star badass in particular role, we think that that is actually connecting with people, but in reality, it's not. It's not tapping our network. It's just broadcasting something out there, hoping that somebody will actually respond. In the end, it's not connection in any way, shape, or form. It's really more so like selfishly spamming all the people who get on social media with what we need. And it's just spamming them with a low-rent job ad that we're pretending isn't a low-rent job ad. So instead, actually try to find the people who you would appreciate their help if they helped you and connect with those people directly using these platforms. And then if you need to, take it offline, jump on a call, get on a Skype, whatever it is, but actually use those connections and use your network in a way that helps to strengthen the relationships that you have with other people. And the other recommendation I would have is make sure you give people enough information, those people that you connect with, make sure you give them enough information so they have something to go on and really actually help you out. Make sure that they're not the ones who are doing all the heavy lifting, trying to find you that perfect opportunity or trying to find that perfect candidate for you. You know, that's what you pay agency recruiters for. That's what you pay other people for. But if you do a little bit of research and you actually give the people in your network, those people you care about their opinion, if you give them a little information up front, enough to go on, then I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at what you find. So in conclusion, you know, this may leave you with a whole lot to think about, but here are my recommendations in a nutshell. So we tend to under-leverage our most trusted resource, and we expect these other technological resources, these job boards, you know, the Wild West, an unverifiable repository of random applicants or random job postings. Those things that are all noise with very, very weak signal. We expect those to replace our network and our connections of the people that we know and trust, because we just don't want to spend a little effort. We don't want to spend a little bit of time, maybe spend a little money to actually get out there and get out there in a way that'll optimize and save us time, effort, money. And again, over 70% of the workforce considers themselves to be at least open to the possibility of a new opportunity. But the majority of those job seekers are considered passive, which basically means that they're not constantly trolling job boards and they're not in desperate need of a new position. You know, the thing about employers, at least those of us who've been in the game for a little while, is that we kind of got used to scenarios and markets where job seekers needed a new job. So we constantly relied on them to come to us. And that's simply not the case anymore. And this job market, the employment market, is going to fluctuate. So rather than hope for conditions to work in your favor and hope that people who need jobs are just going to happen to find you amongst the thousands of other opportunities on a given job board, tap into the network of people that you know first and then worry about the larger platforms that may work at scale when you've got more resources and you have more time, more money, and all of those things. Because the job market is tight right now, at the time we're recording this, it means that you as an employer doesn't mean that you need to kiss anybody's behind. It just means you need to get a little more resourceful and make sure you're spending your time in the right place. And as a job seeker, especially if you already have a job, like the thing you don't have any of is time. So make sure that you use your time wisely. And if you think as a job seeker or as an employer that you shouldn't have to change anything and that talented people or great companies should just find you and they'd be wanting to scoop you up, or people should be dying to come and work for you, even though maybe they've never heard of you before. Well, in that case, I've got another recommendation for you, and it's a book called Ego is the Enemy. I'm kidding. Well, kind of. It is really a great book, but get our egos out of the way and let's focus on the results we want to achieve. And last but not least, I'm just going to leave you with this one question. Given that one out of every three employees in the U.S. will leave their job this year for a new company. One out of three this year, 2019. And then one out of three again next year in 2020. Given that there's going to be that much turnover, that much churn in the employment market, I want to know, are you going to be on the sidelines or are you going to be taking action and solving this problem yourself? Thanks for listening. Hey, what's up? It's Sean again. I hope you enjoyed this episode today. Whether you learned something, you were amused, entertained, maybe outraged a little bit, I hope that you had an enjoyable time. And if you did enjoy this episode, I advise you to subscribe in your podcast app, whether that is Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify or Stitcher or some other platform I've never heard of. There are a million of them out there. So if you go ahead and subscribe, you will make sure that you will get every single episode as we release it. And you can go back and look at our back catalog of archived episodes on anything from the future of work to freelancing and going into the business of you to how you can deal with being overwhelmed in your professional life. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to help out, make sure you go to Apple Podcasts or, again, whatever your platform is and leave us a review. Highly reviewed podcasts reach more people. They're the lifeblood. These reviews are the lifeblood of any podcast. And we want to make sure that we impact as many people as we possibly can and hopefully provide them the same level of value that we provided you in this episode and every episode moving forward. So please go leave us a review and you might even get featured on a future episode. So until next time, I'm Sean P. Martin. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers.